sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. Is it loud in your ears?
Oh my gosh, I just got a blast. I'm almost deaf.
Well, you're welcome for waking you up.
There you go.
How are you doing this morning?
I am awake and ready. Good. We've had a really good week. Our market continues to be strong. Sellers, it's definitely a seller's market. And truly a seller's market. People were calling it a seller's market when sellers were paying $5,000 to $7,000 or $8,000 in the buyer's closing costs.
Right.
That's not a seller's market. Seller's market is truly right now when sellers don't have to pay any of the buyer's closing cost. Seller can decide what the date they close is. Seller can decide where it closes. Seller can decide everything they want to decide, and the buyer can take it or leave it, you know?
It is, and it's one of those terms you hear all the time. Is a buyer's market, seller's market? Well, we've been in a seller's market probably for
about a year.
Yeah, about a year. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of always, we've talked on different radio shows about when is it going to continue? Is it going to, it's still here.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's not quite as strong as it was,
it's
though,
not.
Because there's more properties on the market.
Yeah.
So if you are thinking about selling, you need to call us pretty quickly, because as more properties hit the market, your competition is going to capture perhaps the buyer that would have paid you the most.
So we're thankful that you're joining us on this Saturday morning, and you can listen through KTOK or through the iHeartRadio app or anywhere that you subscribe to a podcast. Just look up Becky Ivins or Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. So we're glad our listeners are with us, but we also have a special guest with us.
We do. We've got Tim Fain, Exceptional Carpet Cleaning and More. I'm not sure what the official name of your company is, but you do so much more than carpet cleaning. It's floor care, basically, right?
Floor care and furniture and all of those good things. If it needs cleaning, generally, we have something to do with it.
Well, I've had my grandkids here for a while. So you need to come over and see the bar stools around my kitchen island. And
do you have a little fingerprints all over them now?
Oh, no, there's no fingerprints. It's like, you know, you don't have a napkin, turn around, wipe your mouth on the back of the fabric stool. So we are going to need Tim Fain to come visit us and clean that.
We're grateful for pets and kids. But
yeah, I bet you are.
It's kind of like how Robin's Roofing sometimes is grateful for the storms that come through. It's just, it's the storm of children and dogs, isn't it?
The circle of life.
Yeah,
I know, right?
It is.
So, but, you know, when we did our promotions this week, we talked about, you're going to tell us about odors and maybe how to prevent some of those and how to take them out. There's all kinds of odor products on the market.
I see them all.
And there are also, there's a lot of discussion on our real estate professionals Facebook group about odors and how to get the smoke odor out. Like, and there's more about the marijuana smell than the cigarette smoker's smoke. There's a lot of discussion about that. Hard to sell a house that smells like you've been growing weed in it because you've been growing weed in it, right?
Right, and not just growing, the cannabis industry, you know, with medical marijuana coming to town. There's going to be a lot of people that have resorted to using cannabis for their medical needs, and that has a particular odor, which is going to make it difficult to sell a home with that odor, because that's one of those, you know, those odors that, you know, people that don't use it don't appreciate. So you just certainly need some help in making sure you can remove that.
So if you're growing your own, which some people do, that seems to be the worst odor. So, like, there will be the study is full of plants. I'm sure it's not more than 12 plants or whatever the limit is legally, right?
I thought it was 2 plants, but we'll go with 12.
Okay, whatever it is. We had this house listed that had far more than 12 or 20 plants in
and
there.
And it was right in that front study. And so when you walked in that door,
it just musty smell.
It hits you, and then the smell of a home is the curb appeal is number one, and then the smell, and it frames the way you see the rest of the house.
Absolutely.
Boom.
Well, and then, you know, like we sold several houses this last year with video tours, people that never got to see inside the house. I mean, they saw inside, but they didn't smell it and they didn't hear it.
Right.
And that makes a lot of difference because hearing the traffic noises or the noises of nature or the pack of dogs next door, you know, makes a difference. But smells are something that are pretty individual.
Absolutely. That's the thing I tell people when they're saying, well, we're getting ready to list this house. So I thought we'd just give a, you know, carpet allowance or whatever, you know, for it. I said, if they can't get past an odor or a giant stain in the middle of the living room to see the rest of the house, you don't have a chance.
Yes. So when we're talking about cannabis, is it different than cigarette smoke as far as being able to control that odor?
It's the same principle, but a little bit different. They actually make specific cannabis odor products for the professional industry to utilize.
Really?
It's different than tobacco smoke. But there's not a ton of difference between it, except that, one, it has a much stronger odor. It's kind of like cat and dog urine. The chemical makeup is very similar, but you can tell there's a distinct difference. And the difference is one is much stronger than the other. Same with the THC that's coming from marijuana. It's creating a much stronger chemical smell than what you get in tobacco. So because of that, we use the same process in removing cat odor as dog odor, but we have to use stronger chemistry, longer dwell time, more of it to be able to combat that.
We're going to be back with more of cats versus dogs, marijuana versus cigarettes, in odor and more with Tim Fain with Stuff for Carpet Cleaning when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Tim Fain from Exceptional Floor Care. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 840-1000. That's 840-1000. And bring your questions to Tim. Now, pet odors. Mm-hmm. That is one of the big bugaboos of just home care. And now I was a little bit in the last segment, you talked about cats versus dogs. There's a difference.
Right.
Well, cat's a lot stronger, right?
It is stronger. And in fact, I get a lot of people that say, I believe you can get dog urine odor out, but you can't get cat. The truth is, yes, we can. It's just more difficult. And it's more difficult because cats have more protein, salts, and fats in there, more concentrated in their urine than what dogs do. And that's what creates the food source for bacteria to grow. And where most of your odors come from, a bacteria that's growing on a food source. So the more food source there is for bacteria to grow, the more odor you're going to have. And that's the reason why cat has about 50% more protein, salts, and lipids in their urine content than what a dog does, and that's the reason why it's more difficult to get rid of. So
I thought it was because cats have emotional issues and have anger issues, and
they certainly can, and that's why they spray and demonstrate that attitude. But yeah, the same process takes care of cat, but I have to use more product, longer dwell times, And sometimes come back and treat the second time to finish up the job.
So that was my follow-up question to you. Over, do you use the same product and just more of it, or right. is it a different product?
Right. Same products, but more of it, longer dwell times. You have to give time for that enzyme to break all the oil, the salts and the oils down so that it can be liquefied and then extracted back out of the carpet, the pad, even down to the subfloor.
Yeah.
And so it's chemistry is all the same. You're doing the same thing, but you have to break down. If you don't liquefy the salt crystals that stay behind when the water evaporates in the urine, those are sticky and they stay down in there and they hang on to the fiber. So what we put in there is meant to liquefy that so then it can be more easily extracted out of the carpet. And when you remove the food source, number one rule in removing odor, and I've said it on this show for 15 years, but the number one rule is remove the source of the odor. So instead of covering it up and, you know, things that some of, you know, the competitors out there do, and it's better for 2 weeks and then it's back with a vengeance, it's because if you don't remove that food source for bacteria and you only kill the bacteria, new bacteria grows and comes back stronger than ever, and it's a short fix to a long-term problem. Well, the secret is remove that source. And, you know, there's some things that I tell people here on the show. If you are trying to do something yourself and you don't want to hire a certified odor control specialist like myself, then what you do, if it's damp, if you have urine that's still damp, then it is a acid based, and when it leaves the animal's body, it's on the acid side of the scale. So just use water and flush that out with hot water. I tell people blot up as much as you can, as quick as you can, then pour hot water from your tap on it, blot all that up, then put a thick towel over the top of that with some books or heavy weights and leave it for 24 to 48 hours and let that urine and what's left up wick up into that towel instead of staying down in your carpet. If it's already dry, the unique thing about urine is it takes a pH shift. It goes from an acid to a high pH. Well, you clean, as I've said on here, you clean an alkaline with an acid, you clean an acid with an alkaline. So when it shifts after it dries and it shifts to a high alkaline, then you go to an acid. Well, vinegar is what we call acetic acid, and it's on the acidic side of the pH scale. So pour on a dry urine,
some vinegar on there,
and that will dissolve those crystals, and then you can use water and extract that out better. So in mild cases, you can take care of those things yourself in that way before you get into the expense of hiring a professional.
How about when a kid wets the bed? Is it the same thing?
Yes, yeah. It's just like cats and dogs. People has a little different smell because our diets are different, hopefully. And but the idea is the same. Urine is water that's being evacuated out of your body as a carrier for waste materials that our kidneys can't process. So it's salts, it's leftover oils and fats and proteins, and it's all flushing all that out. Well, after that dries, you say, I can still smell the 5-year-old's urine that had the accident, you know, at the overnight sleepover. It's the salts and the oils and the fats that are staying behind after that's dried that's creating a food source for bacteria. And so people say, well, how can you get that out? And I'm like, well, did you ever have cloth diapers or know someone that did? Do you ever worry that cotton diaper can't come clean and smell good again? No. Why? Because you flushed it out as you were washing that in a washing machine. You flushed all of those salts, oils, and fats that were in that urine out, and you were able to get it clean. We use a similar process in doing that and flushing that out of your carpet pad and subfloor.
This is why we love Tim Fain. It's not just about dousing carpet in water and sucking it up. There's a chemical breakdown that's happening. You got to find the source of it. Now, Tim, I remember you and I, we were at a house and there was a horrible smell, and you were there looking at what could be done. And I just remember being in awe because you said, I bet there is a long-haired dog that lives here that the oil from that like, and that's the first I'd ever heard of that different style of dogs give off that different oil, correct? Sure.
Absolutely. Labs are a popular breed, so I'm not picking on them because I love labs, but they have an oily coat. Their coat is meant to protect them when they go into the water to retrieve things. It's just the way they're bred. But oily coated dogs will, when they lay on the floor, they leave the oils from their skin on the carpet. In fact, you'll notice, hey, that dog must have laid right there because there's kind of an oily, dirty spot right there on the floor where they've laid. Well, those oils that have transferred off onto the absorbency of the carpet then collect dirt. It acts as a magnet, as household dust, or you walk across it and it gets there. But it'll also give off a doggy, what we call dander smell. And it's different than urine. You kind of, as you smell these things over all the years, you know this is a doggy dander smell. So remove the source of the odor is the number one rule. So we look at that and say, okay, we need to do something to break those oils down and help them to release from the carpet so that there's not a food source for bacteria to grow.
So in that case where you have a long, you can't remove the dog.
Absolutely.
So how do you remove the source? Like what?
The source is the oils that lay on the surface. Well, we all know that oil and water don't mix. So if you go in and try to steam clean or clean that area with your little carpet machine, the oil and the water are resisting each other. So you break those oils down.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're going to be back with more with Tim Fain, and we're going to be talking about luxury vinyl and your wood floors. We'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're having a conversation with Tim Fain from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning. And if you want to join in on that conversation, you can give us a call at 840-1000, 840-1000. Great time to ask your floor care questions. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call today at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. I had Larry this week come out and look at a roof for me and give me a full report and sent all the pictures and everything that was going on. If you've had any kind of storm, give them a call. You have to do that within a year. So, Robbins Roofing. Now, Becky, what's our word of the day?
Our word of the day is, it's a concept rather than a word, but it's luxury vinyl plank, and people call it LTV.
LVP.
LVT. There you go.
P. LVP. Luxury vinyl plank.
LVP.
Yeah. They also use the word tile as opposed to plank sometimes.
Yeah.
But the planks are more like the shape of wood floor, and it's a vinyl.
Right.
It's not really linoleum vinyl, which everyone that's any age at all knows what linoleum is. A solid piece of vinyl. Usually linoleum comes in either 6, 10, or 12-foot strips, right. And it just rolls out onto the floor. There's often a seam that's you can see.
Yeah.
But the luxury vinyl plank is different.
Yeah.
So, and the cleaning, I would be concerned. I mean, it comes in these, what, 3 and 4 or 5 foot strips, mm-hmm. and usually, what, 6, 8 inches wide, something
right.
like that.
And, or variating.
Yes. And it goes down right on concrete. Mm-hmm. I probably right on wood subfloor, mm-hmm. too. But with that many seams or openings, it seems like that would be a problem to clean because of water getting
right.
in through those each individual plank.
And the complicated part of luxury vinyl is the fact that you don't know what type it is. Originally, when they first came out with it, they made it, it was like a kind of like a pergo where it had a photo finish top that was laminated over. Well, they put the vinyl over that, and the materials underneath were not meant to get wet, and so it would damage it if you got it wet. But when I tell people on luxury vinyl, it is a play off the old linoleum. It's an upgraded. They're making a lot of stuff now that are waterproof. One thing I tell, the main thing that I tell people when they're caring for their own luxury vinyl is limit how much moisture you put down. If you don't know if you have a waterproof barrier underneath there and it's intended to get wet, then don't. Keep limited moisture on your mop head. Get your mop head damp, wring it out, and then mop it. The other thing I would tell you is resist the urge to use strong chemicals on luxury vinyl. Use a neutral cleaner, a neutral pH. When they say neutral cleaner, means that it stays in the neutral part of the pH scale, like water is. Water's 7. Anything below 7 is an acid. Anything above 7 is an alkaline. That's how the alkaline scale goes. So a neutral floor cleaner, and you can go to Home Depot, Lowe's. In the janitorial section, they sell a gallon jug, inexpensive, that says neutral cleaner. And you dilute it with water, and it's mostly water, with just a little bit of neutral cleaner, and use that. But if you're not going to use that, make sure that you dilute and use very little cleaner on it, because you don't want to damage the surface of that luxury vinyl.
And the luxury vinyl is made up of several layers of
yes.
things, and I can imagine some chemicals that you put on there could delaminate
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You can damage the finish. Resist urge of putting a topical coating of any kind. Read it. If it says rejuvenate, orange glow, bone a polish, any of those things that indicate it's going to give it a shine, like quick shine, do not use it, because you will be paying a professional to strip that off at some point. And I am that professional that can do that, but I hate it for the homeowner when they have to pay me a good sum of money for something that could have been prevented. And that's resist the urge to put a topical coating on your wood floor or your luxury vinyl that wasn't there by the manufacturer. And use a neutral floor cleaner on your floors. And then on occasion, when you need it professionally clean, we can come in and take care and blast away the soil that's in there. But we have the equipment to extract the water quickly and where it doesn't stay in there and do damage to your luxury vinyl plank.
I would think that it would be very difficult for you as a professional to find out what the makeup of these vinyl planks
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
Some of them have ground stone in them
right.
because it gives it the feel to walk on
right.
like you're really walking on wood.
And slip resistance.
Yes, yes.
In fact, we're even finding these days on porcelain tiles, they're putting a coating on porcelain tiles on the newer porcelain tiles so that when they're stacked in the warehouse, they don't scratch them. But if you're not careful on those porcelain tiles, you can do damage to that coating that they've put on there. It's becoming an industry conundrum that they're having, trying to battle that, and it's just on the newer stuff. But you don't want to follow Pinterest and YouTube on your latest and greatest mix baking soda along with toothpaste and scrub your grout on your floor. You want to really resist that. It's always better to do less and then leave the more aggressive things to professionals that know what they're doing.
On tile, like in a bathroom floor, or kitchen floor, you actually clean that, the tile and the grout,
right,
and then you seal it.
Right.
So, and how long does that sealer usually last?
The thing I tell people about a clear sealer, we use the best quality solvent-based sealer, that money can buy on it. But if you spend that money, you have to watch what you put on it when you clean it. No Pine Sol, no Mr. Clean, no vinegar. You know, you want to use a mild neutral floor cleaner or a very mild alkaline cleaner so that you don't strip it off. If you take care of that sealer, 3 to 5 years before it needs to be reapplied. But the number one thing that people do wrong is they use harsh cleaners after a floor has been sealed, strip that off within a few months, and then they're disappointed with the result of their sealer.
That happened at my house.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because Tim came over and cleaned the tile. Man, it looked good. It looked new. And sealed it. I forgot to tell my house cleaner, no Pine Sol. And so that didn't last long.
So it came in, the Pine Sol just took it off.
It did.
Yeah.
Because it dissolved it, basically.
Yeah.
And then the tile started getting, the grout started getting dirty again. So we ended up ripping it up and put in wood.
Well, I wish I was sitting next to Tim Fain in chemistry class. I would have gotten an A.
I know.
I know chemistry as it applies to floor cleaning. So full disclosure.
I'll take it. Now, you brought up wood floor. I mean, so how do you take care of your wood floor then?
Number one, I tell people resist the urge to add a topical coating that was not put on by the manufacturer. None of the products that it says glow, shine, polish, resist it. I tell people clean it with just either a lightly damp mop, or I love a product you can get on Amazon called Squeaky by Basic Coatings, and you dilute it 4 to 1 with water. 4 parts water, 1 part cleaner, and mist it on and mop it, and you're not adding a topical shine. It's a floor cleaner that's made by a wood floor cleaning company. Doesn't do damage to it, but you can even use Bona cleaner on it if you want. Just read that bottle carefully and make sure it doesn't say polish, because Bona polish is an acrylic based topical coating that's not eventually will have to be removed or stripped off, and you'll scratch people when they put that on. It leaves scratches in the finish. They think they've scratched their wood floors. Wood floors are fine underneath. You're scratching that soft coating that you've put on the top of it, and then it all has to be stripped off. It can look hazy, blotchy. It can look cloudy when you put cleaner on it, and it just becomes problematic. So everyone, what do they naturally do? Put more on it because it's not looking good, and then they create a big mess that has to be stripped off.
Well, this is one of those things I've learned with being around Becky, being around you, Tim, is usually less is more when it comes to chemical smells, odors, like neutral, and take care of the source. When we come back, we're going to have more with Tim Fain from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Tim Fain from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning. And if you want to get a hold of Tim, you can look him up at BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's Favorites. And you can see it right there, Exceptional Floor Care.
So wood floors.
Wood floors, and we need to talk carpet.
Yes. Well, let's talk wood floors first.
Okay.
Well, we have talked wood floors a little bit, I think. But is there anything else that, I mean, what do you do to clean wood floors, Tim?
The wood floors in my home, I have both what we call hardwood and engineered wood, but I have both of those in my home, and all I do is apply the – you can vacuum them with a hard surface vacuum or one without a beater bar going to remove the dry soil. Do that once or twice a week, and then I mop it with the diluted squeaky and leave it be. And I resist the urge to put a shiny finish on it, but that's really all that you have to do. And then every couple of years, I professionally clean my wood floors. It just you have equipment that has brushes meant for wood floors that digs out hair and extra dirt and that type of thing, and restores it, and gets some of the more ground in things out, but really, they're pretty easy to care for if you take care of that and resist the urge to put a topical finish on. You know, remove the dry soil on a regular basis because that acts as sandpaper underneath your feet as you're walking across it. And people think, I don't need to do anything. It's wood floors. Everything has maintenance. Every single thing that you have has some sort of maintenance. And how well you maintain it will determine how good they look and how well they're preserved over the lifetime of their use.
Well, and I will tell you that wood floors are an investment.
Absolutely.
So you need to take care of
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. And, yeah, everything has pros and cons. I tell people wood floor is not the answer to everything. All our mothers, my generation, we had wood floors that put carpet over the top of it for a reason. And another misnomer, people think that hard surface is better for their allergies. The truth is carpet and rugs are the best thing you could do in your home for allergies.
The biggest filter you've got
That's right.
Your carpet,
That's
right?
Exactly right. It's the largest filter in your home. But what do you have to do occasionally with filters? Clean them. So you need to vacuum. Carpet holds all the 80% of household dust is dead skin cells. And so we all shed about a gram of dead skin every day.
It just makes me shudder. Every time I've heard you say that, it's just kind of like,
do you know something?
Yeah.
We redid the bathrooms at the Oklahoma Foundation for the Disabled. And I say I organized it and kind of subcontracted it out for this nonprofit. And when there was an exhaust fan, of course, in the bathrooms, and we had those, we took the covers off of those. Unbelievable. When the heat and air guy came and I said, well, do we need to replace these? He said, you really just need to clean that. I said, what is that? And it was like 2 inches thick all the way around.
No,
he said, that's just dead skin cells.
No. Right.
So it's exactly right. 80% is dead skin cells. And I tell people, your skin doesn't know if you have hard surface, tile, wood, or carpet. You're still going to shed that. So the truth is, and people say, well, you know, but have you ever pulled up carpet and seen what's underneath that? Sure, absolutely. But you also notice that it wasn't in the air. You don't see fur balls from your shedding animals going across the carpet. You see it on your wood and your tile because the elements are still there no matter what flooring you have. But the carpet acts as a filter and holds it down. So frequent vacuuming, cleaning professionally, cleaning your carpet once a year, cleans those filters, makes your carpet last a lot longer and your rugs a lot longer, and it actually improves the quality of the air inside your home by having something that is a filter that can absorb all of that household dust. Now, the dustiest, if you walk across a hard surface or you dust, those microfine particles can become airborne for up to 48 hours, and you're breathing that. That's the reason why you dust and you go back 2 days later and it's settled again on your furniture. It's because all you did is stir that up in the air, and it came suspended, and you thought you had done these great things, only to find it settle back down. So the best way to take care of that is to have rugs and carpet in your home and vacuum that frequently so that you can clean the filters where it can continue to absorb even more.
Tim, it's a little bit disconcerting that you look so happy talking about this.
It's kind of my element, you know. Like, it's the world that I live in, but so it just kind of rolls off of my tongue, and you don't have to think about it.
Can we visit about carpet for a minute? Because that really is 60 or 70% of your business is still carpet cleaning, right?
Absolutely.
I've seen your videos on
Facebook.
I saw somebody else's actually yesterday. Someone must have seen your videos and started doing the same thing. But I'd like to see those about 2 weeks after the clean, because the thing is you don't have that wick back up of the stains.
Right.
So what's the secret of that?
Well, the secret, what stands out in the way we clean carpet versus some others is, first of all, we put our cleaner down in advance. We custom mix a cleaning agent based on the type of carpet that you have and the soil that we find in your home. We mix it up and we put it down with an electric sprayer. We do that for two reasons, really, so that we can custom mix it for your house, number one, and so it's custom tailored, but it gives more dwell time to break the soil loose. But the other thing it allows us to do is use a fresh water rinse instead of cleaners in our wand stroke like our competitors use, so there's no residue. Using softened water, heated up to 235 degrees, rinse off the soil, no residue.
And the residue is what makes it sticky.
That's exactly
and
right.
And attracts that dirt
exactly
to come back. Right. Man, I always love having you on, Tim. Thank you,
Becky,
so much for taking time to do that. Folks, we are going to be visiting with Scott Hill next week from Call Us First.
On Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.